Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
And Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. That's right, that's right. Let them cheer, let them roar. You've just tuned into the gist of the matter. Give it some thought with your radio personality extraordinaire, Dr. Harold Bennett. I'd like to thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast and being a part of the gist of the matter. Family, we're here every Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And we're excited about the chance to talk with you. We're excited about the chance to engage one another. Just downright happy that we have this platform to explore important issues in our community. Listen, you know what we do? Y'all know how we do. We love hospitality here as being a part of the WAOK family. So here's what we're going to do, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Call somebody, email somebody, text somebody. Whatever it is you do, however it is you communicate, let them know that the gist of the matter is on the air. And when you do that, please encourage them to join or to like the Facebook pages, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Hey, like, you got to like that. You got to like that. That's the number one page you need to be a part of. Want you to be a part of the community? Want you to be a part of what it is we're talking about here at WAOK at all times. And love for you to join the gist of the matter discussion group. The gist. That's gist with a G. With Dr. Harold Bennett, the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett. Send me a request and be a part of the group so that you can interact with me digitally and interact with the gist of the matter family, you know, in cyber space. I think that's what I call it. I call it cyberspace. And I promise you, you're gonna get your hands on some good information, some good things that are just gonna be wonderful, good stuff for your mind. All right. Hey. I had to breathe. I had to let that out. I had to let that out because I got some stuff deep in my heart today that I want to get off my chest. I'm going to tell y'all what it is. Y'all probably said Ben about to lose his mind, but I got to say this. Y'all know A&T lost. We lost to FAMU. Can y'all believe that? We lost to FAMU. I'm not happy about that. My hat's off to them Rattlers. I must commend you all. You all were the better team. You beat the North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University Aggies. My hat is off to you. I'm eating humble pie today. I ain't liking it, but y'all did it. And congratulations. Congratulations again. So, hey, that orange and green nation, I know y'all just feeling good right about now. But good job. Good job. Y'all beat us on Saturday. And I'm tore all up, feeling some kind of way about that. But I'm breathing, and I'm going to get through that. All right? Good. I just had to get that off my chest before I got into what I wanted to get into today. All right? All right. Now, This is what I want to talk about today. And I want you to let somebody know, you know, what it is, the subject, what we're going to look at. Listen, you remember we started this conversation appreciating or at least being attentive to this, what's happening this month. What do I mean by what's happening this month? October is this Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And you remember we started this term that we are using here on the gist of the matter is the intimate partner violence. We're using that for domestic violence. And there are some reasons for that, and we'll talk about that even more during the show tonight. But we want to talk about it in intimate partner violence, because not all violence between males and females occurs within the confines of marriage. It happens outside of that. And for that reason, we're just calling it intimate partner violence awareness issue. So it's Intimate Partner Violence Month, Intimate Partner Awareness. It's Violence Month, awareness of the things that happen and those kinds of issues. Now, here's what I want to talk about today. And I thought about this because last time we were talking, somebody said something that I just had to write this down. Here's what I want to talk about today. I really want to talk about how do core beliefs. And when I say core beliefs, religious beliefs, how in the world do they relate to intimate partner violence? In other words, what happens in churches? What happens in the mosque? What role does faith play, you know, in this whole intimate partner violence kind of conversation? I mean, think about it. When we start talking about what it means, how we understand masculinity, what it means to be a man, what it means to be the head of the house, what it means to be a father, what it means to be, you know, a husband, what it means to be a disciplinarian and those kinds of things, in some ways are informed by religious ideologies and religious ideas. And think about this. You have some persons people who have been abused feel like they supposed to stay in the relationship because, you know, if you're talking about a woman, a wife, she's supposed to stay in the relationship because she's supposed to submit to her husband. She's supposed, you know, to see this thing through to the end. She's supposed to pray for her husband. She's supposed to forgive him. You know, this is what it means to be a good, faithful woman of God. It sounds like that religion is doing some interesting kinds of things with respect to this thing about intimate partner violence. Where is the Quran on all of this? Where is Islam on all of this? Does Islam promote intimate partner violence? Does it prohibit it? Do you have any kind of systems, you know, in place? You know, and when I say systems in place, the preaching, the teaching, all of this, these things that shape our core beliefs. That's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to talk about core beliefs. I'm going to talk about religion and core beliefs and what role do they play in this intimate partner violence thing. October is this international intimate partner violence awareness month. We're going to deal with it today. Tell somebody it's about to get hot up in here. All right? Because you want to stay there because God say you're supposed to stay there. You're going to stay there because God say you the man and she going to do what you say. So you're going to do some other kind of crazy stuff. We're going to talk about it. All right. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
My name is Dr. Carolyn T. Long, and I'm a therapist, minister, author, and consultant. And I want to talk to you just a brief few moments about domestic violence and the Black Church. Intimate partner violence is an issue for all ethnic groups, for all races, for all ages, for all socioeconomic groups. for all national origins as well as for all religious orientations. The majority of victims in domestic violence are women, heterosexual women, I might add, because 90% of all domestic violence is perpetrated by men. One out of every three women experience at least one physical assault by an intimate partner during her adulthood years. The Christian church is an entity that where many women will go for help when they are in a domestic violence situation, especially so in the African American community, where the statistics reveal that 84% of all African Americans consider themselves to be religious or spiritual, and that the majority of them will seek help from their pastors or church leaders whenever there is any kind of issue. So therefore, as African American pastors or church leaders, we need to be equipped to appropriately respond to women when they're in such a crisis so as not to add to the lack of safety that they are already experiencing.
All right, News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Listen, I think that we're talking about something today that is a very real issue in our communities, and you just heard the clip there that talks a little bit about intimate partner violence and the black community, and specifically talking about the black church, and in many ways how it raises this question for us about our churches, our religious organizations, and why this issue, you know, is just so important. Because you've heard it said on this show before. The Pew Research Center on Religion talks about how black folks say religion plays such a key part, I'm going to say critical part, in our lives. 86%, I think that's the latest figure that the Pew Research Center put out. And so often, I've often wondered, how does the rhetoric, the preaching, a lot of the things that I see and hear in the black church, and even stuff that I've encountered with Islam, you know, how might this promote, you know, intimate partner violence? Does it promote it? Does it prohibit it? I mean, because you think about it, so many times you hear this rhetoric that talks about, and I'm gonna lay it out there, and I know this might get some of us a little upset, that the man is the head of the house, he's the spiritual leader, and that a good wife, a good godly wife, what is she gonna do? She gonna support her husband. She is going to, in some kind of way, be there to put up with what is going on. She's going to hide her pain. She's going to deal with her issues in her home. And I think sometimes the church creates this idea in women where that's what you're supposed to do, while at the same time creating this image that men somehow or another, that it's okay for men to behave in that type of way. And so I'm wondering what you think about that. What do you think about the role that our faith, you know, in terms of shaping our core values kind of thing? How does it, you know, promote this foolishness that I call intimate partner violence? 448-922-2703. I'm going to go to the lines, and I think I'm going to hit my button number four. Nicole, hello.
Hey, Dr. Bennett, how are you?
You know what? I'm so happy now that you are on the other end. How you doing?
I'm good, and I'm so sorry I missed your show last week, because I looked at the comments, and then I saw the vid, y'all. You know, you go Facebook Live, and
right,
I said, "Oh,
right."
So I'm glad you're kind of repeating that this week or continuing the conversation. This is one of the stats that has bothered me the most. Mm-hmm. I've been reading up on it. The CDC published an article about it,
okay.
And it goes across racial lines. It's humans, and it just amazes me. I mean, it's hard to break down that most of women who are found, most women that are murdered, 50%, it's done by an intimate partner.
Mm-hmm.
That's across racial lines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they had African Americans at a higher percent than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I just know it's a problem, period.
Right.
And I really don't, I'm glad you're bringing it up, because I really don't even know how to have the conversation or what to say. It has bothered me. And then the thing about it also said that when women get pregnant, this does something to somebody, and that's the the main person to kill a pregnant woman is the person that got them pregnant.
That's
it is beyond me, but I love that you're opening the conversation. I called because I knew people were going to be calling in. I wanted to get at the beginning, and I don't really even have anything to say, but just that I'm bothered by it. I don't even know what the conversation should be, how to be, what to do. I've never been in that type of relationship. But it bothers me that a man would put his hand on a pregnant woman like that to the point of death. You know, I'm really now in life, I'm into true crime podcasts.
Okay.
Like, I'm hooked on.
Oh, you know what? And I see you. I like what you do. You're doing a good job at it.
Right. And, well, I'm listening to these true crime podcasts they have, which mainly concentrates on white-on-white crime. It bothers me that people of color aren't highlighted. But what it has taught me, I was talking to my dad about it. I was saying, what I listen to, if I was a white woman, I wouldn't leave the house. Listen, reading that CDC study, a woman, period, probably don't even need to leave the house. I mean, do you? And it's your intimate partner, or it could be your brother or your father or uncle, people that are supposed to be close to us as women, who we should be able to depend on, people we give our bodies to. You know what I mean?
No, I do. And sometimes I wonder, though, Nicole, I wonder about our churches and what role does our churches play in creating an environment where this is acceptable, where women are somehow or another, the rhetoric makes them think that they're supposed to.
Or they don't have any person to
exactly.
Or they can't say anything too loud because you don't. But I really love that you inserted the religion and the church, and especially with the black community, because we've depended on religion and the church for so much.
Mm-hmm.
I know if it hadn't been for Jesus specifically, and I tell people in a minute, these last 4 years, I would not have made it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love that you're bringing, how does that play into this? And I just hope we all get well soon, because it's devastating to read it and just know that the men in our lives, whether I've experienced it or not, somebody has.
Because
the stat is so daunting that are doing this to us. And get a divorce. I mean, well, I have to get divorced.
No, I hear you, Nicole. But Nicole, that might be, you might need to say that. I would not, you know, and I know it's going to sound a little probably problematic when I say this, but I'm not going to say that all divorces are bad. They're not.
Right.
They are not. They're not. No. I mean, you know, the marriage is over. You might as well have a funeral. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not all divorces are bad. I'm convinced.
You don't have to kill somebody if you want out of the relationship. I don't understand this, but I thank you for bringing the conversation.
No, I thank you. I thank you for listening.
Everything.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. Hey, you have a great day, all right?
You too. Thank
all right, all right. Boy, I tell you, Nicole said she gave us something wonderful to talk about. And I think she kind of, in many ways, her words kind of captured, you know, where I am to a degree, because sometimes I struggle with what can I say about this? I know it's an issue that we need to talk about the black church and a lot of the preaching and a lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the Bible stuff and a lot of stuff that happens, you know, that I hear faith communities saying. That stuff seems extremely violent to me, extremely vicious. It nurtures environments, or shall I say, what is that word I was thinking about before? It enables. That's the word I want to get at. It's in it. This rhetoric and this preaching and it's a lot of the stuff. The church and religious communities become enablers of intimate violence. Yeah, Bennett said it. Hey, this is how you straighten Bennett out if you disagree with him. 404-892-2703. The ball is in your court. All right. Call me. Yeah. Call. And you know how I is. If you disagree with me, you go to the front of the line. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Newsa and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. That's Alex Bunyan playing in the background. I believe that's Donald Byrd's nephew, Donald Byrd. Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds. Y'all heard that fella? Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds. Yeah, yeah. That's Alex Bunyan's uncle. And listen to Alex playing that thing. That song's called Free, F-R-E-E. It's called Free, you know, almost like freedom. As my Swahili brothers and sisters will say, Uhuru is freedom. And I want to send that out there because I want all of you who are, you know, you're in an intimate partner, abusive situation. I want you to know you can be free. You can be free. And you know what? If you are in a church that in some kind of way is not sensitive to that, listen, I want to challenge you. Get the Hades out of there. If you're sitting up in the mosque and the mosque is not, you know, meeting your needs and you at home getting smacked around, eyes black, tooth getting knocked out, nose being broken or whatever, and the mosque ain't saying anything about it, you let them know, you're in the wrong place. HVB said that. And that song for you is called Free. That's for you. You can get out of that. I'm feeling some kind of way today because this is Intimate Partner Violence Awareness Month, and this is a real problem in our community. I mean, a lot of us grew up seeing our mothers get beat by our fathers, or seeing, you know, young ladies getting beat up by, getting hit by men. We've seen that kind of thing. And sometimes, and I'm going to talk about this too, sometimes I wonder how has that affected us, you know, as we have grown and matured. We got a lot to talk about, as y'all can tell, you know, but I will tell you this, the Falcons won. All y'all haters out there, yeah, yeah. And guess what? I got something to say about what we're going to do about them Giants. Don't go nowhere. Y'all going to hear about that a little bit later. I got something to say about them Giants. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You know what? You know what? I don't know if I should play it right now because that might sound a little bit crazy. That's all right. That's all right. I get it on the other side. I'm gonna tell Sean. I'm gonna run it by Sean first before it goes out in the airways. Just had to get that off my chest. That's a good thing. 404-892-2703. I want to know what you think, whether you in Los Angeles or Charlotte or North Carolina or D.C. or Florida, wherever you are. This is a problem in the black community. And you know what? It makes no sense for us to act like it ain't going down. Some of y'all sisters sitting up in church, you know some of your girlfriends catching a case. And brother, some of us know we got some of our friends, man, putting them hands on them sisters, and you know it ain't right. And the funny thing about it, the church ain't saying nothing about it. The mosque ain't saying nothing about it. We got to deal with this mess. We got to make sure that we're not enablers, all right? 404-892-2703. Oh, I'm telling you, I was thinking about something. I'm going to say it on the other side. Let me go to the line. I got a caller that I think I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to deal with this boy. Hello, Lee. Hello, Lee.
How you doing, beloved?
Oh, what's up, black man?
Don't do me like that.
Man. No, man. I tell him how to deal with you because the last time you and I talked, we had a great conversation. And
I know, good
no,
bro.
No, it was great, man. And
I
you
didn't
challenged
take that
me.
Negative, bro.
No, brother. I was looking forward to it. I'm like, oh, man, this fella going to make me bring out my. I'm about to put my A game on. I put my A game in the field. What's happening, man?
Okay, we'll jump right into it with you, Doc, because I deal with social. And first, I'm going to say, Doc, I don't want to.
Do me a favor, first of all, roll up your window.
I can't do it. I'm traveling right now. I don't believe. Doc, I'm only going to say this if you can hear me.
Okay, go ahead, then.
Let's include abortion in violence, because when a woman has the power to take your seed and kill it, and that dynamic's included. But we don't consider that violent because we've been taught to accept things that aren't correct. And we try to make them correct and give excuses for them to be correct, but don't include the universal laws that make everything either elevating or debilitating. So I'm with you. We shouldn't hit anybody. No one should be violent anymore. But until we deal with our entire social dynamic, we're going to be in expectation of one thing and society is not going to be in support of it. And sometimes it may not even be the proper thing we should be in expectation of, because from our youth, we've already been given a tainted reality of what things should be and what things, how we should be able to deal with it, even though it may be 1,000% against the actual nature, and it just might be against what is naturally correct. And I'll wait if you hear me, okay, and receive your comment.
No, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm abortion is one of those subjects that we, you know, it's a complicated subject. It really is complicated, and I would have to say, you know, I usually kind of avoid that conversation. But you know what? I'll share this with you, that I would much rather that type of thing. I don't want to make the decision for someone else. I'll leave that up to the person, and that's probably the best way I can put it. You know, I'll leave it up to the person. That's a complicated subject. It's layered, and there's so much that that's involved in that. And you know, that's probably where I would go with that, my friend Lee.
Add it too, though, because when women call in, or men, and I'm going to say this is a woman's subject, because as a man, I'm not as worried about a woman beating me up. Now, she might shoot me, but I can't really do it.
But you know what, Lee? Let me tell you this, man. I was in the Marine Corps. I know some women that take you out, bro. I was in the Marine Corps. I done seen some of them, bro. You mess around and do the wrong thing, dog. They'll take you out. It won't take them long, man. They are trained to take you out.
We're talking about our regular everyday in the hood folks.
Hey, but it's some sisters out here, man. I know some sisters that'll swing on you in a minute. I know a sister,
bro.
I know a sister that's about 4'11" up in North Carolina, Doc. You say the wrong thing, man, she'll put them hands on you.
But now, here's the thing. You know, I've been reading something, Doc, and you know, love and hate are degrees of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to what violence is versus, see, violence is a thing that, what is the opposite of violence? Is violence the other end of making love to someone? Because all things have their polarity.
They do.
If we have to, and I'm going to say this is the answer for it, we have to reassess the dynamics of our African heritage, of Mayotte. We have to get away from politics while overcoming and conquering politics to put it in its place. And that's the mindset we have to take on as voters and non-voters, as blacks and whites and browns and yellows and reds, because I feel the dynamic of our people affects everyone, because our music affects everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not actually in control of it completely yet. However, you can tell amongst our communities where we've taken control of our music, and it's more culturally sound and more uplifting, opposing the mainstream, oh, I just take any old thing in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same dynamic for our families and our communities.
Yeah, yeah.
If we let you, Doc, I know.
No. I want, here's the deal, Lee. You say stuff, man, that makes me, you just make me want to respond in so many ways, because I want to tell you, yes, our music, it's just so much about black culture that is so influential. That's where I was going to go with this.
Yes.
All right. Yes. All right, yes. Man. You drive safely. Keep on listening. Keep on listening,
yes,
man.
Sir.
And I want you to call in every single time the spirit moves you. All right.
Peace, bro.
All right. Oh, my. 4489-22703. I get excited when I see some callers, when I look up at that huge screen and see some names. I saw Lee name. I say, oh, it's about to go down. Yeah, that brother make you want to bring it. Listen, we talking about intimate partner violence, and we talking about our religious institutions. What is your church doing about it? Call me and let me know. What is the mosque doing about it? You know, I mean, you know, because, you know, faith is such a major part of the black experience. And I just wonder sometimes whether or not faith might be the culprit here. The culprit. I bet y'all say Bennett done lost his mind. I might be. Ain't no telling. Every now and then I go off on a tangent. But that's all right. Y'all love me anyway, don't you? 4-4-8-9 Stop, Sean. Stop. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3 is the number. Get with you on the other side. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
What do you say to people who criticize your recommendation and say that this allows men to abuse women, that this allows for the humiliation of women in a marriage?
When we draft a bill concerning women, we have to consider all possible situations. If a woman does not fulfill her responsibilities in marriage, first you advise her. If that doesn't work, then you consult her relatives. If that doesn't work, then you desert her in bed. If all of this doesn't work, then light beating is allowed.
Some men will take what you said as an excuse to abuse their wives. They're going to say, well, my wife hasn't fulfilled her responsibility, and so the Council of Islamic Ideology has said that it was okay for me to beat her.
Then you tell me, what is the solution to this issue? If a woman doesn't respond to advice, doesn't listen to her relatives, after you have used all the options, what should be done?
If a man doesn't fulfill his responsibility, what should a woman do?
First, she can involve someone from the family to resolve the issue. But in the end, if they feel they can't live together, she has the right to get a divorce.
This particular recommendation has created a huge controversy within the Pakistani society. It's been reported in the international media. And I'm wondering that, seeing all of this, if you might change your mind.
Society is not the media. They are two different things, and we will not reconsider the recommendations. This is according to the Quran. You cannot ask someone to reconsider the Quran.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Hey, Dr. Bennett here. We're going to get to the gist of the matter and see what's been said right here. You need to pay close attention to what's being said right here. Here, we're talking about Intimate Partner Violence Awareness Month. We're talking about the presence of it in our communities. And, you know, sometimes language in our sacred text, you know, promote that type of thing. And when I say promotes it, it justifies it. You know, it justifies it. And, you know, some of y'all might not like what I'm going to say, but that's why we have talk radios. You can call and we can have a conversation. We can go back and forth about this, and maybe we can get at the gist of the matter. The Bible has passages there that promote or at least create circumstances that I would say kind of nurture or enable this type of thing where men aren't really, you know, for the most part held accountable, or it somehow or another just leaves the door open for men to be violent. And then God knows what you just heard of the Quran. There are definitely places in the Quran that provide space for intimate partner violence. And so do we think critically when we hear these texts? Do we think critically about what's in the Bible? Do we think critically about what's in the Quran? How do we respond when these texts are read? What do we do when our churches or our mosque or our gatherings where God and Allah and all of the spiritual stuff is going on, but yet we can look around and we know there are some, you know, like that fella say, something just ain't right. Yeah. We know, and some of us know. We know that this atrocity is happening in our communities, our faith communities, which are such a central part of who we are, aren't saying anything about it. A deafening silence. Hey, and that's what's on the table today. 404-892-2703 is the number. I want to hear what you think about it. Let me go to my comrade from Alabama. Yeehaw! Hello, Taylor.
What's up, Bennett?
Yeehaw! How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. You know, Bennett, I am so excited about what is happening now because a lot of people do not realize, and I want to give this book title out first.
Okay.
It's by Thomas Verney. He's a medical doctor. It says, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child.
Well, tell me, you say you're happy about what's happening now. What's the, well, what is it you're happening about?
Someone called me and told me that Friday, Derek Bozeman was discussed, I was in a discussion that he come up, and I thought it was quite interesting. He had put me off his show, and he discussed me. So I'm back in one way or other. But it was had to do with what was happening with the fellow up in the Oval Office, what is his name, Wes? Somebody
Kanye.
Wes. Yeah, Kanye, and it was it had to do with mental illness.
Right.
And I told your producer there that I will be using the name on the radio, Voyance Tenay. My name has been changed. I changed my name in Atlanta, sued my mother, and ran for the presidency of the National Council of Negro Women. That was in 1992. But what is happening right now, Bennett, women birth memory is on trial. And I remember interviewing a woman who had 10 children, and she was telling me that she knew when she started had a male child, she started doing male-oriented things. But see, what is happening here, the men do not know how to lock into the birth memory of the mother. And one day I had the honor of speaking with Dr. Christine Farish. I've spoken to her more than once. And one day we were talking, and I said, Dr. Farish, I said, you don't sound like you grew up without food in your household. She said, we didn't. And what a lot of men don't realize is that memory echoes through the voice of the woman. And I don't take women out to eat anymore because I can tell if they're eating for the day and feeding the hunger from yesterday.
So now tell me about our faith communities and intimate partner violence. I mean, tell me.
At the bottom of a lot of domestic violence, Bennett, is food.
Yeah, you know, but you know what? I don't know very many guys beating up women for food.
I'm not talking about that aspect of it. See, the woman thinks ahead of time when it comes to the security and those different things of that nature. And a lot of them keep their men in suspense in order to control them.
So let me ask you this. So are you saying then that some women are allowing themselves to be abused because you're saying that somehow or another they're participants, willing participants in this for the sake of food, shelter?
What are you saying? I'm not saying that. No way. I can relate to the women in this sense of fear in Atlanta. My family wrongfully hospitalized me 47 times in the different hospitals there in Atlanta. Uh-huh. That's why I was so tickled about Derek Bozeman saying that Taylor is mentally ill, because you're going to see who's going to be mentally ill when they start filling the hospitals there in Atlanta. I was helped by Dr. Wadner at Emory University.
Uh-huh.
There was a police officer there in Atlanta, College Park, named Rosemus. He understood the syndrome that was expressing itself in my family. And College Park police got tired of coming to pick me up. And the social worker, all of this, man, they concocted something around me that wasn't true, and it's covering up. My life are the evidence of my brother's death, who was light, bright, Danny White with blue eyes, and he was buried on the day Emmett Till died 2 years before in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It's all about this. And Bennett, you all have got to do more on the radio than just discussing current events. That is what is called the outer events. But in the inner meaning of life, and the lady over the Children's Defense Fund, Dr. Marion Elderman Wright, I think that's her name, but she's over the Children's Defense Fund, she said our kids are being prepared in prenatal for prison. Dr. Alvin Poussaint said it about 2012 here in Nashville at the Vanderbilt Medical School. We have got to go into prenatal to help our kids. And in this book...
Well, Taylor, now, let me ask you something. You don't believe that, do you?
Dude, I believe it. I'm living that, bro.
Okay, now I want to ask you something. And yeah. I know I want you to just answer this for me.
Sure.
How do we prenatally, how do we work with our kids in the prenatal stage of their lives to help them somehow or another be prepared for domestic violence? How do we do that in the prenatal stage? I mean, especially before they develop brains and before they develop their neurological system and before they learn language. How do we talk to something that someone or some entity that can't even understand English, that doesn't even have a brain, have processes for? Is there another way to communicate? Help me know how you communicate with something in a prenatal kind of fashion.
Okay, that is an excellent question. Like, my mother mocked me by the church reading and eating ice cream on Sunday evening. I just come in with some ice cream.
So that ice cream kind of taught you something about the church, huh?
No.
Boy, you know what?
No, Biddy. Now, let me answer that question. See, there is, in that book, you get that book, there's a story in there about when the man argues and fuss, the baby kicks in the womb.
Really? Before you get legs, right?
That's right, and that's a good point you made.
Kicking before you get legs and feet, right?
Hey, Bennett, I have erased MLK's footprints from the earth by erasing them in the womb in 1928.
Okay, Taylor. Taylor, I appreciate you, man. Listen, this is what I want you to do for me. Next time you call in next week, I want you to tell me what conversation you and Bull Connor had, all right? Appreciate you, man. Taylor going to track down Bull Connor for me. That's what he going to do. Yeehaw! Woo! News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. The opinions expressed on this show do not reflect the views of the management of Intercom Radio. Call us now at 404-892-2703. Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Oh. Okay. I'm trying to get crumb.
C-R-U-E-K. Tell them how we gonna come. Tell them why they don't hold on. Tell them why they better run.
Radio. That's right, baby. We coming for the NFC East. The Giants got something for you, baby. Redskins, we got something for you, baby. Cowboys, we got something for you, baby. You know what we got for you? I'm going to tell you what it is. Here we go. You hear it? Yeah. Rise up, baby. The Falcons about to make their move. Listen. Can't take it. That's so rough. Son, I can't take it. Ow! There they go. That's the Falcons, baby. We moving. We grooving. Y'all smell what we cooking? Here we come, baby. NFC East. We about to make our move. We coming for you. Giants, better get ready, baby. Okay. Well, you know me. I like them Falcons. Not happy that A&T lost, but you know, you got to take the bitter with the sweet. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3. Wait a minute. That's Boston. That's Joseph from Boston. Okay, let me go to the Aryan Brotherhood. Go ahead, Joe.
Joseph from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, you represent the Aryan Brotherhood. Don't you represent the Aryan Brotherhood?
Yeah, it's Aryan Brotherhood, but they're
black. Go ahead,
they're not white. That's the difference. Aryan Brotherhood.
Oh, God. I thought you was down with the Aryan Brotherhood, man.
No. But to answer your question, you know, I try to show respect to the church. excuse me, and religion.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is the people in power. They use it to exploit people.
Tell me what role do they play in creating environments in the mosque or in the church that in some kind of ways enable intimate partner violence? Tell me, how does that work itself out? How does it happen?
I'll give you an example. I went to the NAACP convention in Philadelphia in 2004. And around that time, Benjamin Sheamus was interim president of the NAACP. Mm-hmm. But Benjamin Sheamus wanted to hook up with Minister Farrakhan and get the Nation of Islam to be accepted more in NAACP. But the Jewish power structure was put the blacks that to vote against Benjamin Sheamus to nominate him as an NAACP president, because he wanted to bring the Nation of Islam and the black church, which made up a Christian, together. But the power structure didn't want that. At the peak of it all, 13% of African Americans had belonged to the Nation of Islam. That's back in the 60s. The Nation of Islam and the black church always talk about coming together, but they don't really stick together and do anything because they're contradictory. They use religion to divide people. There's nothing wrong. And, like, for instance, you talk about women and rights and this and that. That's why Islamic radical... Dr. Bennett, if you look around the world, all these radical countries, I'll read an article about Iraq. Do you know where Saddam Hussein was running Iraq, Dr. Bennett? Do you know women had more rights in Iraq than any other country in the Middle East? They could drive. Saudi Arabia women could drive. Now they're starting to let them drive. Iraq had the most.
But you think about that, and I know that might get on some touchy grounds. That women just not got the right to drive a car. I mean, personally, I think that that's I really don't want to try and, well, let me just say what I think. I would disagree with banning anybody from driving a car just based on their gender. There are some other reasons I think people ought not drive, but it would not be because of gender.
Let me give you two quick examples. You remember that they wanted to stone them Nigerian Muslim woman from the north because she had a child out of wedlock?
I've heard about those stories. I've heard about them.
See, Dr. Bennett, I read a lot of books on this. I took class like Marriage in the Family, Masculinity and Femininity. I read books like Man from Mars, Woman from Venus by John Green, mm-hmm. Demonic Man, Anatomy of Love. I recommend anybody who wants to know the difference between... There is a difference between man and woman. And because we want to push this agenda on the Arab world, look how they're repressing women. Do you know women in Iraq and Afghanistan had more rights in the 70s than they do now?
Yeah, but here's where I'm confused. What agenda we're trying to push on Iraq that's creating the situation with women? That's what you've lost me. What is it?
It gets deeper. Dr. Bennett, it's so deep. That
but tell me what it is. That's what I'm asking you. Give me, what's the program?
The power structure wants to promote women. You ever hear, I don't got nothing against President Obama. Why? Michelle Obama, she's a great woman. But they always talk about educate girls, girls' freedom, human rights for women.
Right.
It's certain things you could take too far because think about it. There's more women of all races graduate in America, graduate out of high school than boys, than men.
And that's good. Is that a problem? I mean,
Hold on. Let me stop getting that. More women graduate out of graduate school. There's more women in medical school. There's more women in dental school. And the reason because of that, they're so busy pushing women, they're forgetting about men, and it's causing an unequal imbalance.
That can be a lot of ways to explain that demographic. Yeah. And it's not because someone is promoting women. It could be because a lot of brothers don't stay the course. And let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. So often, yeah. I'd like to see, when you talk about freshmen in college, what's the percentage of males to females in terms of the freshmen entering classes in college? I'd bet it'd be pretty close. But I would almost...
I know at HBCUs, it's like 60% black women and 40% men.
If that. But I would think it would be rather close. But here's the interesting thing. When you start looking at graduation, I would bet the rate for women is much higher than brothers. Now, the reason for that, I'm not so sure it's because somebody's pushing women more than they're pushing men. Brothers, some of us just find other things to do, you know, instead of graduating. We want to start working. Some of us go join the Marine, go join the military. Some of us drop out.
Well, there's all kind of book written.
But what I'm saying to you, though, is this, though.
Feminization of America.
But this has nothing to do with feminization. I'm saying to you, no, it doesn't.
Real quick, Dr. Bell, I'm going to hang up. Real quick, in Northern Nigeria, you know why they wanted to stone the woman who had a child out of wedlock and let the man? Because they don't know less. A woman, you'll always know who the mother of a child is, but you don't necessarily know who the father of that child was.
And I say that ain't got nothing to do with it. I would say, wait a minute, because when you're saying Northern Nigeria, hold on. When you're saying Northern Nigeria, are you talking about up there where Boko Haram is? Are you talking about Boko Haram? Are you talking about Islam? There might be reasons they stone.
We got to speak truth.
Okay. This is what we're going to do, Joseph. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to have to hang up on Joseph. Now, he just got on my last nerve. Joseph. Bless you, my friend. I'm, you know what? Let me go to a break. I'm about to go breathe because I'm okay. Joseph, you don't upset me, man. You know what? Okay. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Biggest thing is your support system, and a big part for me was church.
Domestic violence does occur within all faith communities. It doesn't matter what religion a person is, it doesn't matter what nationality they have, it doesn't matter what their socioeconomic status is. Domestic violence is something that often is not talked about in some faith communities, and people pretend as if it doesn't happen, but it does.
When a woman goes to see her pastor or spiritual advisor, I think the most important thing she should expect and deserve to receive from him or her is a listening ear, a caring ear, somebody who's going to pay attention to what she has to say and believe what she has to say.
Women who are in abusive relationships are not only having a safety crisis, a physical crisis, they're also having a spiritual crisis. And so when she goes to her clergy person, what she expects from her clergy person then is to address her spiritual crisis.
I do think it's very important for a woman to understand in these kinds of situations that it's not her fault if someone is abusing or controlling her in this way.
I turn to faith community, I turn to my friends, I turn to my family. And because of the person that John presented himself to be, charismatic, charming, my cries went unheard. It's just, well, what did you do to him instead of what is he doing?
I got a lot of support through the women's Bible study that I was a part of, through the church. And that, for me, was just monumental.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You just heard some testimonies and even some conversation about intimate partner violence and the faith and our faith communities. And it's really an issue that our churches and our mosques need to deal with. You know, it's a very real problem, just as is hunger, racism, you know, the illiteracy, other kinds of things, you know, voting rights and things that we talk about on a regular basis. Trust me, you know, you got deacons in your church jumping on their wives, and somebody need to say something about it. Need to put them off the deacon board, throw them out the church. Yeah, some folk need to be put out. They need to be booted out of the church. Yeah, sitting up in a church trying to be a leader,
You beating your wife. You know, that don't make no sense. Everybody looking on at your wife sitting over there with black eyes and bruises and got on all that makeup trying to hide everything. And we know what you're doing. Yeah, your card being pulled. We know what you're doing. Boy, why don't our churches do something? Why don't we say something? Why don't we do something instead of trying to make it like it's not really there? Ah, intimate partner violence in our churches. What role do our churches play in nurturing this foolishness? 404-892-2703 is the number. All of the lines are lit. Let me see. I'm going to go to who's been holding. I got JoJo. Hello, JoJo.
Brother Ben, how you doing?
250%, man. How you doing?
252, brother.
Well, good for you, man. What's on your wonderful mind?
Hey, brother, I'm going to tell you a little about what I've learned through my experience.
Mm-hmm.
See, our traditional thinking as a people has been shaped by the white supremacy and their mode of thinking in the society. For example, I used to wonder why my mother used to beat us so much, man, back in the 60s and when I was a kid. I mean, with fierce, you know, most, a lot of black parents used to whip us, right?
No doubt.
We'd do something wrong, they'd whip you with whatever they could get their hands on us.
Right.
Or a belt, a stick.
Mm-hmm.
I got hit side of the head with a plate one time when I refused to take the trash out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I thought it was a flying saucer, brother. But, and I always wondered why our parents were so, especially the mothers could be so mean at times. First, because they loved us, okay, wanted us to survive. Second, because the way they had been treated by throughout history through this white slave masters and down through Jim Crow, the hostility, you see,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
presented to them, and then they go work in their houses, and a lot of our parents, women, saw how the white man would beat his wife, and then when they come home, they would feel maybe a little and the black men, like my stepfather, he would be, he was kind of disrespected on his job. He worked at a lumber mill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that a lot of that anger and domestic violence come from us learning it from them. And as for our churches, the church that I go to preaches against that. You know, and as the Bible preaches against that, what I've learned though, bro, I've never had to beat a woman in my life. If I can't talk to her, I don't need her. You see?
Oh, I get that.
Yeah. I think that women though, okay, I think that most women, you know, and even in the Bible it tells you it's better to live on is at one end of a rooftop than to live in the house with an argumentative woman. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, that's what it say, but now tell me what tell me how do you read that, because that could very much so place the blame or the honors for a guy jumping on a woman on her.
Yeah.
And I'm not even interested in that in any kind of way. I'm not even trying to hear that.
No, but I was leading to something.
Go ahead.
What I was leading to is that a lot of women will tish a man to see what level of her manipulation, not all of them, but her natural manipulation can be tolerated. And some women will create an argument to see how easy a man can get mad and what he will do if he do get mad. See?
But make sure you think about what you're saying, because what you're still doing, you're still planting the seed that you're blaming the woman for getting.
I'm not blaming him. I'm leading to something.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm in my mid-60s, and I've dated a lot of women, and I've studied them.
Uh-huh.
You see, and I've learned that they will test you. They test a man to see how much you can be tolerated. And the trouble is, though, we have not been taught in our people, the black men mostly, I would say, a lot of us have not been taught outside the church how to deal with women, how to tolerate her tongue, and how to how to deal with anger and conflict resolution. And see, myself, I started an organization called Save the Savable Witch. I'm trying to help young white males how to deal with life and women, and how if they get rejected, you do not have the right to hurt a woman or hurt anybody. You know how you see that, I see a lot of these young guys, if they can't have a woman, they'll kill them. In a lot of cases, you see it on the news and stuff. And I'm trying to stop that. I'm trying to reverse that mode of thinking, through my method of conflict resolution. A man should be able to walk away. If a woman don't want to be touched, if she get mad at you, whatever, they have no right to beat a woman. You see? And we just need more training, Doc.
No, I get that. And I'm just wondering, though, but what are our churches and what are our mosques and what do we do when we run into text in our sacred documents, the Bible, the Quran, mm-hmm. that leaves space or leaves the door ajar mm-hmm. for a man to think that it's okay for me to put hands on a woman? What do we do when we see it? Do we openly point out, those texts that are problematic and we find a way to, to reverse what people might think about them? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, a lot of these religions, like Hindu, believe that women are secondary. They got the right to just beat her, in some case, kill her.
Well, I think Christians and Muslims, and I could argue in Christianity and Islam, too, that women are not seen on the same par as men now. I mean, and the reason I talk about Christianity and Islam so much, because in the black community, we are mostly Christian, Muslim. We're practicing African traditional religions, if we're doing any at all. And those two definitely have treated women as subspecies. Now, I'm just being honest with you, man.
You're right. But Islam, I don't know much about the Islam religion, but I believe it's similar to Hindu, and they do believe in treating women as secondary mates, secondary in a relationship. But we have to change that, Doc.
I agree, man. We got to do something about it just as black men, just as a basic human issue. Listen, man, got to go up against a hard break. Thank you, JoJo. Appreciate you, man. All right. Hey, y'all, 449-227-03 is the number. I'll get with you on the other side. New Zen Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give Us Some Thought
with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Tonight, Atlanta police are actively searching for the husband of a well-known television minister. Juanita Bynum tells Atlanta police her husband, Bishop Thomas Weeks, savagely beat her in a hotel parking lot last night. Fox 5's Morse Diggs is live in South Atlanta tonight with the exclusive details. Morse?
Russ, allegations of extreme violence are what's outlined in this Atlanta police report. And when a bellhop saw Reverend Juanita Bynum being kicked out here in the Renaissance parking lot, he came to her rescue. On her website, the followers of Reverend Juanita Bynum know her to be a forceful voice, especially for women. Her TV ministry, expanded to a national audience, stresses empowerment, with men and women sharing a partnership in a relationship. Last night, police say Bynum allegedly became a victim of domestic abuse. Photographs taken by a relative and released to Fox 5 show her injuries, bruises. Police say the incident occurred at this hotel that sits alongside Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. According to a relative, the Reverend Bynum and her husband, who's also a minister, are in the middle of a separation. He asked for a meeting last night, and she agreed to that in the hotel dining room. This relative tells me that that meeting did not go well, and the husband left abruptly. Bynum followed, and a few more words were exchanged in the parking lot, and then things got ugly, according to an Atlanta police report. Juanita Bynum stated her husband, Thomas Weeks, choked her, pushed her down, kicked and stomped her in the Renaissance parking lot.
The bellman that was there at the hotel that intervened because of her being assaulted so bad, he had to intervene.
That bellhop pulled the two apart in the parking lot and is being labeled a hero by Bynum's family. Atlanta police visited Bynum at the hospital and documented the injuries.
Multiple bruising, also swelling with the victim too, and she was heard, had to be taken to the hospital and actually seen by hospital personnel.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You just heard there a clip from an incident that happened 10, 11 years ago between a prominent, between two preachers, Juanita Bynum and Bishop Weeks. And you heard the details. You heard the story about the stomping, you know, the stomping where one person, one man stomped another woman. And you heard about the bruises and all of that. Clearly, this whole stuff about intimate partner violence is something. And you got a preacher. You got a bishop involved. And I mean, a lot of our churches, you know what's happening there. I have something one of our callers has sent in. Well, one of our listeners who's interacting with us electronically, what they're shared with me, they said often the church is aware of what's going on with one of their members, but they choose to be silent because they feel it's none of their business. And you know, the issue that this one of our listeners raised, they said, you know, at what point does it become the church's business? You know, when you got, like I said earlier, you got the bishop stomping folk. Isn't that something? You know, somebody should say something about it. When you got deacon, whoever, you know, jumping on his intimate partner, when you got trustee, you know, you got elder or reverend or just anybody in the church. I mean, when does it become the church of business? When it should at some point. I mean, because you could have some other issues that are very much so a part of this thing. 4-4-8-9-2-2-7-0-3. Our churches, we got to make sure that we are aware of what's going on and we do something to undermine this. Let me say this. The number is 1-800-799-7233. That is the domestic violence hotline. If you feel, and you're listening, you feel that, you know, and you know that you're in this situation, let me give you a number. 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-SAFE. I want you to call that number and you know, let's see if something can't be done about your situation. All right, 404-892-2703. Let me go back to the lines. I have my friend Todd. Hello, Todd.
Yo, Dr. Harold Bennett.
Man, how you doing? How's it going?
My intention was to send you an email this week, but I have some other stuff I need to get.
You should have.
I want to address something from last week, but
what's
I don't want to disrupt today's broadcast to do it. So I'll just get to this. Your most immediate question was, when should the church get involved in domestic violence? Immediately. Mm-hmm. As soon as the membership's aware of it, that's not part of leadership, they should contribute some healthy direction on how to make the corrections that are necessary. And leadership should know immediately, and it's for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's one reason more so than anything. It's leadership's responsibility in the church to make sure that their people are healthy emotionally and physically and spiritually, of course, because it's a church. So you cannot truly administer those responsibilities if you don't address them when they're not being taken care of separate from you. If your members are coming in there beat up by their spouses, and that means they're not being physically healthy and spiritually taken care of well. So you have to address when it's not going right so that it can go right. Now, the initial question, and I'm conscious of the time here, the initial question was, to what degree is religion responsible for the nurturing of this?
Yeah, correct? Because that's right. Because let me tell you why I made that, I framed it like that, Todd. I framed it like that because I think that what makes intimate partner violence okay for some of us is because of some core values and some core beliefs we have. And I also, from that, I walked the conversation back and I think, well, what creates, you know, what informs some of our core values and core beliefs? I think our faith traditions do.
I'm with you on that.
Oh, yeah. And so that's the reason that I'm thinking the culprit here in many ways are those faith traditions that promote, you know, that nurture, that enable this type of thing to happen on men's part. And even what I call some of the persons who are abused by this, you know, making them think that it's okay to walk around here in a situation where you're being hit, where you're being smacked, where other kinds of emotionally abusive things are being done, and you're thinking that you know you're supposed to put up with this. And I think sometimes our faith communities make folk think that.
Well, that's incorrect. So when I say I'm with you on that, I'm with you to this point. It's when, and I'm referencing Christianity and Islam because that's really what I know about. I can't speak to all the other religions, okay? A little bit about Buddhism, but I don't know any Buddhism.
Hey, man, do you. I'm cool with that. All right.
It's when those two religions are applied incorrectly or a poor application of them that they lend themselves to faith traditions that don't line up with how the religion's supposed to be applied. And there's people that get caught up in that more so than the peace and the unity and the progressiveness of both those religions' pursuits, that they become vulnerable to people that will misinterpret it to you because you won't read it correctly.
Right.
Or they'll tell you that they don't want to be a part of it, and then you still want to be a part of them. And that gives them room. So although I do feel an exit the way that we define domestic violence in this country is way too broad. It's way too broad. Almost dang near anything can qualify. Of the ways that I would qualify it as it applies to religion, I think I just addressed that question with this one thing I want to add.
What's that?
I listened to what that minister was saying on the audio before you came to the calls.
Right.
And the minister was saying one of the things, and I'm paraphrasing, that he says to his people is that don't ever think it's your fault. Well, the truth about that is, depending on the situation, it may be her fault.
No, Todd. It's never her fault.
If she takes it, it's her fault. You're not supposed to tolerate somebody treating you like that.
Now, you know what? I heard through the grapevine you graduated from Morehouse. That's what I heard.
You're not supposed to tolerate somebody treating you like that.
You're too high profile for that, Todd. And you got a Morehouse degree. So I know you know better. All right, Todd.
Todd, you're wrong on that one, buddy. I'm wrong saying you don't tolerate treatment.
You're wrong, Todd. Got to go. Hey, Linda, you are next right after the break. Linda from Maryland, you are next. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. That song is dedicated to my friend Todd. Todd made you think it's okay to beat a woman. That's called trifling. Todd, I'm mad with you. You know.
Todd, you know better than that, man. I believe Todd is involved in intimate partner violence. He thinks it's her fault sometimes. And Joseph from Baltimore, that song is dedicated to you. Trifling. I mean, you should have been talking about this woman got stoned because they didn't know who the baby daddy was. Oh, no, it's a whole lot of other stuff behind that. Got a song for it. That whole situation and what y'all saying, just trifling. Just trifling. Y'all know. Todd, I love you, boy. You know better than that. Okay. Boy, I tell you. Y'all know better than that. All right. Listen. Those of you who are in the Atlanta area and in Georgia, listen, you got to get out and vote in the November 6th election. One of the most important races ever will determine Georgia's next governor. You can participate in early voting or get an absentee ballot and mail it in. Make your voice heard. Get out and vote. For more info, log in to WAOK.com. All right. And I'm going to say it again. Anybody that would sit here and try to make me think that she is to blame for getting jumped on, that's just trifling. 404-892-2703. She is stoned because don't nobody know who the baby daddy is. Trifling. 404-892-2703. Hey, I'm going to her. Linda, bam, you on. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Dr. Bennett, how are you?
I'm 300% now that I've heard your voice.
Yeah, that was trifling, what you were just saying. I disagree with that 100%. I grew up in a family, Dr. Bennett, where I never heard my father so much as raise his voice to my mother. Now, that's not to say that they agreed on everything, because mm-hmm. of course they didn't, but mm-hmm. there is a way to disagree, and they were always respectful to each other whether they agreed on a subject matter or not. So I would not encourage anyone, I would not encourage my friends or anyone to stay in a relationship where you're being mentally or physically abused, where you're being belittled or called out of your name just because you do not agree or your partner does not agree with something that you do. And they certainly should never put their hands on you. I've never been a member of any church thought that that was okay. Mm-hmm. And if I had been, I would not have continued to stay at that church, because I think that there is something that is 100% wrong with that if that's the way mm-hmm. that your church is believing, or that your friends, for that matter, believe. I know a lot of people like to kind of stay in the background and mind their business and not say anything and just watch you go through it. But mm-hmm. but are those two true friends that, you know, that occur and that, you know, don't say anything about it? And as far as the Bible, you know, I don't know if some men, because, you know, the Bible says that women should be quietly submissive and that the men should have authority over the women. I don't know if they think that that's why it's okay to be mm-hmm. abusive, but that's not okay. And I've heard women say, well, you know, but the Bible says that we're supposed to love our husbands through it, that we're supposed to love them and you know, not keep any records of wrong. My question is, okay, so if you were trying to quote, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, it also says that love is patient and that love is kind.
Love is kind.
It also says that, you know, love protects.
Right.
And that love trust.
Right.
You know, it also says love is not easily angered.
Right.
So, no, you shouldn't. I don't believe that you should stay in a relationship for the sake of love or because you feel like it's going to break up my family. I have children. It's going to break up my children. But you want your children to see you being physically and mentally abused. What is that going to do to your children in the long run?
I agree.
So, you know, so I think it's courageous of women or men, for that matter, who are being abused to walk away. Love yourself enough to not allow that to happen to you.
All right. Linda, you know what? That is such a great. I had to give you that. That was the bomb. I had to give you that. Thank you so much for calling, and you keep on listening. Peace and love.
I certainly will. Thank you, Dr. Bennett.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, y'all heard it. 448-922703. I'm going to go to my friend W.I.L. Square. Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, Dr. Bennett. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, man, I wouldn't have it any other way. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple things, and whatever you're interested in talking about. But as far as this domestic abuse, what solves that is just simply living and marrying in the spirit and not living in the flesh. This thing with Juanita Bynum, she's a lesbian.
And stop. What did that got to do with anything?
Well, I mean, you know, whatever man married her was not living in the flesh.
Wait a minute. Well, what does that have to do with beating up somebody?
Well, no, I mean, there's...
Matter of fact, what does that have to do with stomping somebody?
It's horrible. It's horrible.
So it had nothing to do with it, right?
It's a satanic relationship.
So wait a minute. Now, Will, go back and tell me, define a satanic relationship. What's a satanic relationship?
A relationship in the flesh without God.
A relationship in the flesh without God.
And there's only one God, Dr. Bennett.
But you're confusing me. So you're telling me that if two people get married and somehow or another they're not, what do you mean? I want to get at this. What does it mean to be in the flesh, or for a marriage to be in the flesh? I want to. What does that mean?
In whoredom.
In whoredoms. I'm still confused.
Let me give you.
I'm gonna invite you to do something. Here's what I'm gonna invite you to do. I'm gonna invite you. Can you speak everyday English and not fine Victorian King James words to use? I want to see if I can make you marketable to a larger audience. Let's try a different set of words here. Why is that a quote-unquote satanic marriage? And what do you mean by this getting married in the flesh? And I'm trying to figure out, why does getting married in the quote-unquote flesh, is that less honorable than something? Because the Bible says, since you want to quote the Bible says marriage is honorable in all, not just in some people. It says in all. Now, if you want to talk Bible, if you want to talk Bible, I'm ready to get down, baby. Tell me how you like it, how you want it. I mean, I'm ready now. If you want to do that, we can play that game now.
All right, let's talk that.
The Bible says marriage is honorable in all. What does all mean? Does all mean some people or everybody?
Right. I mean, if you're...
Does it mean... No. I'm going to ask you, does all mean everybody or some people?
In holy matrimony.
Does all mean everybody or just in some instances?
That's all in holy matrimony.
No. What does all mean, Will? Is all a broad, inclusive term, or is all an exclusive term?
What chapter and verse are you talking about, Dr. Bennett?
Go over in Hebrews. Hebrews. Go over in Hebrews. You'll find it. You know what? We're about to run out of time. This is what you do.
Quickly about the white supremacy.
No, I don't want to know about the white supremacy. Ain't got nothing to do with folk getting jumped on.
It's the Edomites.
It ain't got nothing to do with Edomites.
It's the Edomites who were the slave owners. You can look it up.
Are you an Edomite?
No, I'm a Celt. I'm American. White people don't want to have slaves. It's the Edomites.
Okay, the Edomites did it.
Remember King Herod?
Okay.
Do you remember King Herod, Dr. Bennett?
Yeah, I read about King Herod.
Remember how after the crucifixion you didn't hear about the Edomites anymore?
Okay.
Because after Rome exterminated the Jews, the Edomites started calling themselves Jews. They're the Edomites that ran a slave trade for Rome for 2,000 years. That's who foments division between a white and a black.
Okay.
Cousins by Sheba, descendants of the house of Israel.
All right, Will, I got to go, but that's, there you go. It's Hebrews 13. I believe it's over in Hebrews 13. It says marriage is honorable in all. And the next time you call me, I want you to give me the answer, whether or not all is an inclusive or exclusive term. I got faith in you, Will. I believe you can read. I believe you can get your dictionary. I believe you can process information. Thank you so much for calling, Will, because I'm coming to get you, baby. I'm coming to get you. Hey, gotta go. Time is up. Gene Ross, thank you for the opportunity. I tell you, I don't know what I'd do without you. Appreciate your insight. Sean, bam, you made it happen again today. Hey, the gist of the matter, audience, WAOK family, you made it happen today. My callers calling in from everywhere. You made it happen today. And I got to tell you one more thing. That lady up in North Carolina, Jackie Teal, baby, you made it happen today. Because you know what you did? You raised a conscious black man. Love you. peace and love. And whatever goes on in your life, do not take it, look at it, and simply put your brains in your back pocket. Give it some thought. Peace and love.